Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Galatians this morning. Big surprise there. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Galatians 5 and verse number 22. We've been studying the fruits of the Spirit, and if you've been coming, which most of you have, you're well aware that we've been studying these. In the Bible, again, as I mentioned last week, understand that these are attitude fruits. Attitude fruits. If you have this attitude, the action's going to come naturally. Be careful as Christians to not have the action without the attitude, because I don't think that that is what the Holy Spirit is trying to produce. The Holy Spirit is not trying to produce an action without the attitude of love. He doesn't want the action of joy without the attitude of joy. He doesn't want you to be patient just pretending, but to have the attitude of patience in your life and the attitude of peace. We want to have an attitude of peace as we trust in God. So Christian, I want to warn you, especially if you've been saved a long time and you know the Lord, be careful, because sometimes it's easy to try to produce the action without having the attitude, and only the attitude comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't get them mixed up. Try to always have the attitude from the power of the Holy Spirit, and that will produce the action. As we're in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit is an attitude of love, an attitude of joy, an attitude of peace, an attitude of long suffering, an attitude of gentleness, which is where we are this morning, gentleness. If you look at other translations of Scripture, you'll find that this word is translated as kindness. In many other portions of Scripture, other translations, is translated as kindness. So the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. It is essentially goodness of heart. Goodness of heart. It's a high level of a noble virtue that seeks to always do good and kindness to others. Sometimes in this world, it's amazing how we respond to kindness from other people, and yet when it comes to ourselves offering kindness, sometimes we don't offer the same kindness that we have received. So just to understand a little bit about what's going on with this word, let's look at some other portions of Scripture to kind of get an idea of what's going on with this word goodness or the word kindness. Oftentimes, if you look at the way it is taken and used in the Old Testament, you'll see it's akin to the word mercy in the Old Testament. But here, a familiar portion of Scripture, I'm going to take you to several portions of Scripture this morning. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 12, we see the same idea being used here. In God, referring to none being righteous, and we understand that from verse number 10, as it is written, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And as a result of man's unrighteousness, you go to verse number 12, and you see the same word that's used in Galatians 5:22. He says, they're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Same word there. There is none that is doing kindness. There is none that is living in this way. It would seem in the world in which we live today, more and more you see a lack of kindness, a lack of love, a lack of sympathy, the way people treat one another, the way people act to one another. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And then as he looks out into the world, he says there's not even people that are being kind to one another. Let's look at some of the descriptions of God when we're involving this same idea of goodness or kindness. Go to the book of Titus, chapter 3. Now remember, I'm doing the best I can this morning, all right? Remember that we are not trying to exhibit anything in our lives that is not coming from the power of God. So every one of these fruits, I have demonstrated to you that they are because it's part of who God is. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is long-suffering. That's part of his character. And so it's no wonder, as the third person of the Trinity works in our hearts, that that is what is being produced, is the characteristics of who God is. And in Titus chapter 3, in verse number 4, you see a reference to God and part of his character, especially in relation to what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. Titus 3, in verse number 4, where the Bible says this, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared." Speaking of Christ, that Christ was brought forth, he says, by the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man. Kindness, part of who God is. And let me just help you understand something. When you think of God being kind, or you think of a Christian exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit of kindness, that does not mean that kindness accepts sin or disobedience to God's word. But there's a way in which things can be done. There's a way to do those things in a different manner. Does not mean when someone is kind that that is accepting of sin. You know, that we understand that we can speak the truth, how? In love. Speak the truth in love. And so the Bible describes us here of Christ and the work of God. He said, it describes it as the kindness and the love of God appearing towards man. Part of the work of Christ is involving the kindness of our Savior. Go back to another book of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 7. Ephesians 2 and verse number 7. Again, we don't always think of this morning. How often do you, when you think of God, you immediately think of his holiness, you immediately think of his grace, you may think of his mercy, you think of his attributes. But have you ever understood all that the Bible says about the kindness of God? Ephesians 2 says this. What a great passage this is. This is the great passage where he talks about God being rich in mercy in verse number 4. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he says he's quickened you together with Christ. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You're walking according to the course of this world, but he made you alive. He redeemed you through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 5, you were dead in your sins. He hath quickened you together with Christ. You're in union with him. And then verse 6, he says, he raised you up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. And then look at verse 7. That are so, in other words, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, and then there's our word again, in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. God has done all these things for man through Christ, that he would show his exceeding kindness towards man. And because of this, go to Colossians chapter number 3, the book of Colossians chapter number 3, part of who God is. He says he's going to show his kindness. Colossians 3 and verse number 10. Again, in context, you would recognize this passage where he says, if you be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father, of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of earth. You recognize this passage. And then he's saying, because of who you are in Christ, there's a way we live, there's a way we walk. And in verse number 10 says this, and put on and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, bond nor free, but Christ is in all and Christ is all and in all. And then verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, and then he says kindness. Christian, I wonder how many people would be more interested in our God and in our understanding of Scripture if we acted the way that Scripture has instructed us to act, in kindness. How many, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many times can you remember someone who responded to you with the act of kindness. How many can remember times where people showed grace and mercy and compassion towards you through kindness? Part of who we are and part of how we live and part of the way that we interact with others is in kindness. He says, because you are saved, because you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because you have been forgiven of your sins, he says, put these things on. Now, the understanding, when you put something on, people are identified by what they wear. I've given you the illustration before, right? You ever seen a police officer direct traffic? They're probably not in a butcher's apron, right? Like, what is this guy doing out here? You know, he's directing traffic. Like, do I go? Do I stop? No. If a police officer's directing traffic, he's going to have a uniform on. He's identifying himself as an officer, right? If you see other people that wear a uniform or wear a certain item of clothing, they are being identified by their clothing. That's the illustration that he's giving here, right? Can you imagine going in to see your doctor and he's got a scuba dive outfit on? You know, flippers and all. Comes walking in there. All right, let's check your chart. You know, takes his diving mask off. He's like, is there someone else? You know, can I meet with someone else here today? I'd rather not, you know, be diagnosed by you. I don't really recognize. So you're identifying people sometimes by what they wear. In this situation, he's saying you are being identified by what you put on. And what would you put on these things? Because it's a representation of yourself as a Christian. And so in verse 12, he says, put on therefore. Now, I've taught you this before. Maybe you remember, maybe you don't. But whenever you see the word therefore, you need to see what it is there for. And so he is reminding you because of the previous 11 verses, because of who you are, because of what God has done for you, because of who you have been made in Christ. Therefore, he says, put on the new man in verse 10, and then put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as the children of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy and kindness. It's identifying you. You may be somewhere and you say, why did somebody act the way that they did, right? And you'd say, well, maybe it's because they were a Christian. I was on my way to a conference one time down in Florida, and we were stranded in the airport in Charlotte, North Carolina. It turns out the keynote speaker was on our plane, right? And our flight got canceled. And I'll never forget, when it came time for the new gate assignment and telling everybody where to go, the keynote speaker took off, literally knocking people out of his way to get where they were going, to try to shove his way first in line. And I always had trouble listening to him after that. I thought, that's not how you should be identified. He still doesn't know to this day that I was standing back there and saw what was taking place, right? So what are we wearing? How are we acting? Well, you say, well, no one saw. Well, God saw. No one saw the way I acted or the way I treated this person at this situation. Well, God saw those things. So as a Christian, he says, you put on, therefore, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Same thing that he's talking about in the book of Galatians. Because of who you are. And I know some of you thought, with my rib condition, surely he won't talk as long this morning. And I thought the same thing. But we're moving along here. The command, how do we live? I want to challenge you on this. I want to encourage you as Christian people to live as God has instructed us to live. And again, I say this every time. Josh, I'm not loving. It doesn't matter. God is. God, Josh, I'm not a joyful person. That doesn't matter. God has joy, and he can give you his joy. Josh, I'm not kind. I know, right? We recognize that. But God is kind, and he can give you his kindness. This isn't about what you are naturally. It's about who he is and what he can make you. And it's all about him as the potter, as that wheel of pottery, it spins and that clay is there. And God is molding you. And if you ever seen a potter make pottery, he'll run into a little stone and he'll have to pull it out. And that's sometimes how we are in our lives. God is molding us. He's making us. And all of a sudden a little unkindness comes, right? I'm going to get that out. It's not how I want you to live. A lack of joy. Let me get that out. No love. Let me get that out. And God is making us into who he wants us to be. Because of who we are, this is what God is doing for us. Now, every time we've gone through these fruits, I've described to you that they're part of the character of God. And then every fruit, without exception, is not only part of who God is, but the fruit is also demonstrated by Christ. Every time. Every time Christ exhibits the fruits that are being listed in Galatians 5. Let's look at this, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 1. Quickly this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. Talking about Christ. He says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness, same word, gentle, right? From Galatians 5:22, I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of whom? Christ. Christ demonstrated gentleness and kindness. How was this? Feeding hungry people, picking up children into his arms, and blessing them. In Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29, he says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, my burden is light, he is saying. Take my yoke upon you. From Matthew chapter number 11. We recognize that Christ was an example of kindness. He was an example of this fruit of the Spirit. As he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Christ demonstrated kindness in his life. So kindness is instructed for us. It's part of who God is. It was demonstrated by Christ. And then three more verses and four applications this morning. Titus 3, the command. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:24. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24. What does God tell for us? I've kind of already shared some of these things to you this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24. He says, and the servant, this is Paul speaking, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Be gentle unto all men. 2 Corinthians 6:3 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 3. Very interesting portion of scripture here where the Bible says, talking about be workers together with him in verse number 1. But then in verse number 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, 2 Corinthians 6, giving no offense, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress. In much patience, he says, giving no offense in anything, but living in much patience as we walk by the power of the Spirit. Now this morning I got four quick applications for you. So we've kind of been following the same formula through these fruits. Listing of the fruit, recognizing there's a fruit as a characteristic of God, recognizing that the fruit was demonstrated by Christ, acknowledging the fruit has been commanded to us. We saw that we should live this way as children of God. And then I always try to give you an application. And if the Bible does this every time. The book of Romans is masterful at application. As we read through it, and then he says, now, chapter 12 says, and now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, whole and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What is that? That's an application of the previous 11 chapters. Because of what God has done, your body is a living sacrifice. And so, four applications this morning. Number one, does the kindness, quickly put your feet under the chair, does the kindness I show to others reflect God's kindness to me? Does the kindness I show to others reflect God's kindness to me? Thank Christian this morning, the patience, the love, and the kindness that God has demonstrated to us. Is there anything more he could do to demonstrate his love and kindness than send his son to a cross for our sins? Does the kindness I show to others reflect God's kindness to me? How do I act when someone pulls out in front of me at the four-way stop? Does that only happen to me? Right? How do I act when the waitress is slow with my food? How do I act when someone responds in a way that irritates me? Right? What is my response? How do I act when my child disobeys? Oh. Am I still demonstrating the kindness that I would want demonstrated to me? Does the kindness I show to others reflect God's kindness to me? If we could just evaluate that and apply that every day, what a difference that would make. How about if you're married here today? Have you ever gotten a disagreement with your spouse? Never, right? Ron's shaking his head no, right? Now he's going to have a broken rib in just a moment. But how do we respond to our spouse, right? Do we respond with kindness? Let me ask you a question, men. Which got you further? Responding in kindness or responding in anger? Kindness, right? Women, how about with you? Which has got you further in life? Responding with kindness or responding in anger? And let me ask you another question. How often have you ever had to go and apologize for responding the wrong way? Honey, I'm sorry. Or you go somewhere and be like, I shouldn't have done that, right? You know, see, if we would be walking by the power of the Holy Spirit and treating others and reflecting the kindness that God has given to us, boy, what a difference that would make in our life. I mean, as I joked with you last week, I mean, there's times if God treated us like we treat others, I mean, we'd be wiped right off the face of the earth, you know? Number two, do I seek to gain from the kindness I show? Or is it pure kindness? I'm going to be nice to this person so this happens, right? Or I'm going to be this so maybe I can get a political favor or whatever it may be. Am I truly showing the kindness of God for no benefit of my own, but just to demonstrate kindness to others? Number one, do I show kindness that God shows me? Number two, do I seek to gain from the kindness I show, or is it pure kindness? And then number three, do my acts of kindness have a component of mercy, love, and compassion? That all is demonstrating God's kindness. It was listed in several of the verses. Do my acts of kindness have components of love, compassion, and mercy? Treating and living how God would have us to live. Now, go back to Galatians 5 quickly for the fourth application. Galatians 5 and verse number 22. Josh, how do I live this way? You have no idea what it's like or whatever it may be. How do I exhibit kindness? Again, as I say every week, I'm glad you ask, because it's already been understood that if you are exhibiting or surrendering to the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, what will flow out of love? Kindness. What will flow out of joy? Kindness. What will flow out of gentleness? Kindness. What flows out of these fruits of being patient? Kindness. So basically, as you are surrendering to the power of the Holy Spirit and He is producing His love, it's going to produce kindness. As He is producing His joy, it's going to produce kindness. As He is producing His patience, it's going to produce kindness. As He is producing His gentleness in your life, it's going to produce kindness. So we come back to the same place we started. Are we surrendered to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives? These are not just actions. These are attitudes. And these attitudes are produced by the Spirit of God. And they are produced as we surrender to the Spirit of God in this area. It's as simple as saying, God, you know I have a temper. Amen, right? You know I have a temper. You know this gets to me. You know that grates me like nothing else. And I want to surrender that to you. I want to surrender this area in my life to you that I can demonstrate kindness to others. Maybe this morning you need to demonstrate kindness to your spouse. Maybe you need to demonstrate kindness to your children. Maybe you need to demonstrate kindness to your friends or neighbors. I don't know. But all I'm here to say is that this is what God has said. This is what He has instructed. This is His word. I try very hard when I preach to leave personal opinion out of it, because you'll forget my opinion long, long before you ever forget what the truth of God's word has to say. God's word said that we as Christians can demonstrate goodness or kindness to others because it's part of who God is. It was demonstrated by Christ. It was commanded to believers, and that is how we should live, as we have this attitude of kindness towards those around us. Joanna and Bethany are going to come this morning and play us a hymn of invitation. As they come this morning, let's bow our heads together. Again, the Holy Spirit is a much better teacher than myself. And the Holy Spirit always, always reveals the areas of your life that need to be surrendered to Him. Let's take a moment as they play for us this morning. Are we demonstrating love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and goodness or kindness? Maybe you can think this morning of someone that probably could use some kindness. Maybe this morning you need to say, God, forgive me. I've not been very kind. Forgive me, because I know my lack of kindness in this area is a place I've not surrendered to you. Just talk to the Lord for a moment there in your seat. You can look back up here. I pray the Word of God would work in all of our hearts this week, and that the Spirit of God would have complete control of our lives. Let's practice this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be kind. And then say, because I love you. Ron, you might want to say that twice, right? But let's think of that this week as we live, and let's demonstrate God to others and show His kindness to one another. I'll invite you to stay for the meal. We'd love to have you. If you didn't know we were having a meal, you can stay anyway. It doesn't matter. We have plenty of food. I mean, you lost an hour of sleep last night. It's the least we can do is to feed you. So we'd love to have you stay for the meal today. So we'll bless the food, and we'll invite you to come on back towards the fellowship hall. And the ladies and others have got a great dinner for you this afternoon. But continue to pray for Denise. Pray for those that are traveling. Any other prayer requests? Don't forget men's breakfast this Friday, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, if you want to come help us cook. All right. Any other announcements? The youth group at 4 o'clock. Need 6 more families for the progressive dinner. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth that we find therein. Thank you for those that have prepared the meal that we're going to share together. Blessed to our bodies. Lord, we pray that even though it's hard, this is easy preaching, but it can be hard to live these fruits without you especially. But Lord, help us to demonstrate your love, your joy, your gentleness, your goodness, kindness. Lord, may we every day be molded into the image of Christ. For we know all these fruits have been demonstrated by Him and are possible through your Spirit. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways, and bless this meal and time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.